Well, if you will now turn with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. And so if you can find a Bible there, we have some Bibles that are in the chair racks. And turn to page 974 of that Bible. Page 974. We're going to look today at another installment of our series called Why Do We Do the Things That We Do? We're looking in these days at a number of topics that sort of define the culture of our church. That's the real goal of these messages, is to help us to understand not just what we do as a church, but who we are. What are the things that we value? What are the things that matter to... Boy, you never know how your voice is until you start talking. You see, that's what you get at the early service. You get my first effort at this. But anyway, and don't worry, I don't need water. I'll be okay. I just need to get my chops moving here. I was kind of up late last night. We had a wedding yesterday, as Doug mentioned in his prayer, and things got a little out of hand last night on the dance floor. I won't name names. But anyway, we're talking about why do we do the things we do? And so far in the month of January, we've looked at a number of different topics. Today, we're going to go one step further and talk about why we think it's important to join a church. Now, one reason that we're doing this today is that in just a few minutes, we're going to be receiving new members. So I thought it would be important that we understand, why do we do this? Why do we have membership? So the text is Matthew 18. I'd like to read verses 15 through 20. Listen carefully. This is God's word. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. The word of the Lord. First of all, I want to tell you what this sermon is not. Two things. This sermon this morning is not my way of getting more members into our church. And I just wanted you to hear that. I purposely entitled my message, Why Do We Think It's Important to Join a Church? Not our church. There are lots of good evangelical, Bible-believing, gospel-teaching churches in East Orlando. And I think, and we think, it's important that you be a member of one of them. Sure, I'd love to see you join UPC, those of you who have not done so yet, but that's not my agenda this morning. I'd be happy if today you see the importance of being a member of any healthy congregation. And some of you have been church shopping long enough. You need to make a decision, accept the church with its faults, dive in, and get involved. So that's the first thing I want to make sure you hear. It's not just an advertisement for joining UPC. Secondly, this message is not meant to be a criticism of those of you who are giving your time, your talents, and your treasure to UPC faithfully, and yet, for whatever reason, are not yet a member of University Presbyterian Church. There are quite a few of you out there who fit that description. You give, you participate, you contribute, you serve. Some of you who are not members serve more faithfully than those of us who are. And so I'm not at all trying to criticize you. For some reason, you are not yet persuaded that membership in a church is a good or necessary thing. And there may be a variety of reasons why some people don't see the importance of church membership. Let me run through some of those reasons for you. Some Christians I know simply don't see membership taught in the Bible. They say, I don't believe it's biblical. They don't view it as a good or necessary thing. Instead, it's kind of an unnecessary formality to a lot of Christians. That's the way they've been taught, or perhaps that's what they're used to thinking about membership. They love the idea that the church is an organism. They believe that, but they don't think too much about the church being an organization. They look at verses like Matthew 18, verse 20. I read it a moment ago, that says, the church exists wherever two or three Christians get together. That's the church. And so why do I need to join a particular church, they say? Now, I would have to say that that is a misunderstanding of the context of that verse. But I'll leave that discussion for another sermon. So that's one reason. Some other people that I know see who aren't members of a church have been members of a church before and have been hurt. They don't want to be hurt again. Another reason. Some people are put off by what they see as church politics. They don't want to get embroiled in divisions and controversies and things of that nature. And so they identify church membership with that. Another reason that I see as playing a role in this is the mobility of our society. The mobility of our society. People move around so often nowadays that they don't want to commit to a church if they're just going to have to uproot and move again. Perhaps you identify with that mentality. And then some Christians, to be honest, just don't want to be members because they like their anonymity. They like flying in under the radar and coming and going when and as they like. They like their independence. Church membership represents, you know, commitment to a place and to a people. And for some people, that's uncomfortable. So those are some reasons that people have for not joining a church. But what I hope to do this morning is persuade you that those reasons don't stand up in the light of Scripture. So here's what I'd like to do. Here's my thesis today. And it's on the screen. What I'm going to say is that both the principles and the practices of the New Testament show that every Christian should be an active member of a local church. Let me say that again. Both the principles and practices of the New Testament show that every Christian should be an active member of a local church. Now, how can I back that up? All right, this morning I want to give you five reasons, five things that show the importance of church membership. So let's move through them. First of all, why is it important to join a church? Well, in the first place, it's important because it helps you guard the peace and purity of the church. It helps you guard the peace and purity of the church. Look again with me at our text today, Matthew chapter 18. And just leave your Bible open. We're going to be doing a little bit of flipping around today. Matthew chapter 18 is talking about what to do when there is conflict between you and another Christian, right? You saw that. In verse 15, it says that if you have something against somebody else in the body of Christ, it says you need to have an honest conversation. You need to go to that person and show him or her his or her fault just between the two of you. And hopefully that's all it will require and the whole problem is resolved right there. Verse 15. But verse 16 goes on to say, perhaps that's not going to work. And so if it doesn't work, you need to try again. And this time, take one or two friends along with you. Perhaps having a couple of other people along with you in the conversation will help you make sense to that other person and everything will be hunky-dory. But then verse 17 says, well, sometimes even that doesn't work. Verse 17a says that if he refuses to listen to them, what do? You tell it to the church. You tell the problem, you describe the problem to the church. Now, let me speak to those of you who don't believe in church membership. In this particular passage, who is the church? Is Jesus talking about the universal church? Is Jesus saying that you should go out and tell all Christians everywhere about what your friend did to offend you? Of course not. That would be ridiculous. And it's not even possible to do that. The church has to refer to a local expression of the universal church. And like most commentators believe, I believe that this verse even goes narrower than that. Jesus is saying, if you have a problem and it's not resolvable by those other methods, tell it to the elders. See, they represent the church, as it's spoken about in that verse. But the point is, if there is no such thing as church membership, how do you know who the church is. How will you obey that verse? If you're not a member of a church, whom will you tell? Will you just pick out a few people and say, well, they are the church, and I'll tell them? Jesus is saying that there is a clearly definable group of people whom you should go to resolve relational difficulties with other Christians. And let me make it a little more personal, a little more relevant to you. Do you know what church membership really does? It gives you an incentive to hang in there with people and work stuff out. Ask you a question. Let's take marriage as an analogy. How many of you today are married? If I could just see a show of hands. All right. A lot of us are married right now, or maybe one day going to get married. Let me ask you, you don't need to raise your hands this time. How many of you who are married have ever come to a place in your life where you'd like to throw in the towel? I mean, it's just not worth there was a hand. Have you come to a place where you just say, I don't want to do it anymore? It's just not worth it to me. The cost is too great. Sure, you have. And, you know, you're not going to, but you've thought about it. It's just, oh, my independence, it would feel so good. But you know what? That's one reason why we do wedding ceremonies. The tendency for us to want to throw in the towel is a good reason why we have weddings, to ensure that people don't just give up on each other the first time they don't get along. Did a wedding yesterday. Seth Hammond, Stephanie Hebert got married. Why did they go through that ceremony? So that, among other things, one day they can look back and say, wait a second, that ring, it's for life. There is no plan B. We got to work this thing out. We are members, in a way. We are members of each other. See, I got married almost 33 years ago. I needed that wedding ceremony. I needed to take those marriage vows. I needed to say, look in my wife's eyes and say, I do to her, because I'm sinful. I'm a mess up. And so is she. And given the opportunity, I'll run when things don't go my way. See, without some kind of covenantal commitment, there are simply too many reasons for us to split from each other. And yet, what do we see about us in our country today? Thousands of American couples living together without being legally married. And it's the same way in the church. Millions of Christians attend churches without having any kind of formal commitment to those churches. No wonder the body of Christ is so splintered and fractured. At the first sign of stress, or when they're not getting their needs met, people run to another church. Or start a new one, or even start a new denomination. It's horrible. It's inexcusable. Here's how one writer puts it. He says, we have unwittingly fostered a culture of spiritual cohabitation, leading many to shack up with a local church without ever saying, I do. Church membership then calls us to work through our conflicts instead of just running away from them. That's reason number one. Why is it important to join a church? Let's move on to the second reason why it's important. It's important because it enables you to be accountable to the leaders of a church. Church membership is important because it enables you to be accountable to the leaders of a church. Look at verse 18 of our text today. In verse 18, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. He's speaking to his disciples. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, this would take another whole sermon to really walk through it and give you all the other scriptures that amplify this. But basically, here it is. Jesus is talking about something called the keys of the kingdom. And you can see it referenced earlier in Matthew. If you'll turn over about a page to Matthew chapter 16 and look at verse 19. Jesus says something of the same thing, but using the words keys of the kingdom. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, same concept, but now he calls that the keys of the kingdom. What are the keys of the kingdom? Here it is. God gives authority. to the anointed leaders of a church to bind and to loose. That is to represent him on earth. So that through the decisions that elders make, those are the anointed leaders of a church, through the decisions that an elder or that a group of elders make, that is actually the way that Jesus often chooses to do his work in the church. It is delegated authority and delegated leadership. So what we're learning about here is that leaders of churches, as they submit to Christ, are responsible to make decisions and to handle different situations on behalf of Christ. It doesn't mean that they're infallible. It doesn't mean that they're never going to make a mistake. We do quite often. But what it does mean is that they have a certain amount of this delegated authority to rule in the place of Christ. Do you see that? And accountability to those elected leaders is a good thing. Accountability is a good thing. Everybody needs that. Now the question is, who gets to be a leader? And who gets to be a follower if there is no definable group of members? Ask that another way. For whom are our leaders accountable if they don't know who the members are? Now, we know this on a national scale, don't we? On Tuesday of last week, there was a smooth and peaceful transition from one chief executive to another, from George Bush to Barack Obama. How did that happen? It's because a citizen of the United States was elected by a majority of his fellow citizens of the United States who had registered to vote. Think, friends, think of the chaos that would have ensued if we didn't recognize citizenship in some way and voter registration of those who run for office and those who elect leaders into office. There's a word for that chaos, and it's anarchy. It's anarchy. So let's apply it to the church. Can anybody just walk in here and declare himself to be a pastor or an elder or a deacon? No. That would be horrible. We would say that to be a church leader, you must at least be a church member. And who should be able to elect the leaders of UPC? Should just anybody who walks into our church for the first time be able to vote for leaders of this congregation? How about somebody who comes to church only on Christmas and Easter? Should they be able to elect the leaders of the people of this church who will make those decisions on behalf of Christ and hold the keys of the kingdom? I think you would say, no, not a good idea. What about a person who visited here 5 years ago? Could he come back on election day and elect the leaders of this congregation? I think we would say that's not a happy situation. So leadership and accountability break down when there's not some kind of system of church membership, however the church chooses to define it. Let's move on to the third reason. Why is church membership important? It's important because it gives you a tangible way to express your commitment to a church. It gives you a tangible way to express that you're committed to the family of believers here in a particular place. You know, the Bible teaches that if you love Jesus, you also love his body. You can't have one without the other. It says in 1 John 3:23, this is God's command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Do you hear that? It says if you love Jesus, you love those who love Jesus. If you love those who love Jesus, you love Jesus. The two can't be separated. But it's so easy. You know what the word assume means, right? You've heard that. I'm not going to tell you about it, but you've heard it. It's so easy to assume that we love each other without ever saying the words. I'm sure you're familiar with that old story, the couple who went to marriage counseling. This has been told a billion times, but I'll tell it again. The woman tells the counselor, he never tells me that he loves me. And then the man says to the counselor, well, I told her that on our honeymoon, and I think she should be able to remember that. See, that's that old bad assume word. And it illustrates the human tendency to assume that people know how we feel. I used to love and still listen to their songs, DC Talk, a Christian rock band of a few years ago. They had a song that said, say the words. Here's some of the words of that song. Some just assume that we already know of the love that they feel. Some have a heartfelt emotion, but never the words to reveal. Say the words, say the words, say I love you. Say the words I long to hear. Say the words, say the words, say I love you. Say the words I long to hear. You know what? I am 55 years old, but I still struggle with some deep insecurities that I can't seem to get over. I wake up every day feeling that my value as a person somehow depends upon my performance that day. The gospel is conquering that feeling, but very slowly. And some days it seems like I go backwards instead of forwards. Do you know why I struggle with that? Well, much of it's due to my own sin and my own unbelief, but a lot of it is due to the fact that not once in all my life did my mother or my father sit me down, look me in the eye, and say, Mike, I love you. I would have given just about anything to have heard those words. Later this service, some people are going to come up here, and they're going to say some words. People just like you are going to come up and tell you that they are sinners, that they believe in Jesus, that they want to live like followers of Jesus, that they want to serve you, and that they're willing to subject themselves to the authority of the elders. You know what they're really doing? They're looking at you saying, I love you. They're saying the words that you long to hear. They're making a commitment to you as members of the body. Friends, what could be bad about that? What could be wrong with doing that? The church and the world are looking for people like that who are willing to put their lives on the line and say, sign me up. Count me in. I'm willing to pay the cost. I want to serve. I want to love. I want to give. And church membership is one of the best ways to express that kind of commitment and your heart to the brothers and sisters of a local church. Listen, not to join a church is to rob your church family of the words that they're longing to hear. Fourth reason, why is church membership important? Because it gives you a powerful way of telling the world that you are a follower of Christ. I'll say it again. Church membership is important because it gives you a powerful way of telling the world that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Listen to these words. They're right up here. If anyone is ashamed of me, this is Jesus speaking. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory. What is that saying? Jesus is saying, if you're not willing to say to others that I'm a follower of Christ, perhaps you're not a follower of Christ. If you're ashamed to be known as a Christian, maybe that's proof you're not a Christian. And you need to ask Christ to forgive you, to come into your life and make you his child. So church membership is a way of publicly identifying yourself with the body of Christ. If someone at work or at school were to ask you about yourself, one of the things you might be able to say is that I'm a member of University Presbyterian Church. Or I'm a member of Spirit of Joy Lutheran Church. Or I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Orlando. Whatever it might be, that's a way of standing up and saying, look, I believe in Christ. What a great thing. You know, can I just maybe mention a sidebar here? One of the things that is so encouraging about what God is doing here at UPC is the number of college students and young adults who are saying, I want to be a member of University Presbyterian. Now, I don't know if today is going to happen, but in recent times when we've received new members, tons of them have been college students at UCF, Valencia, Seminole, etc. That's a great sign of what God is doing. And by the way, if you are a member of another church somewhere else, and you're a college student here in Orlando, or you're here temporarily, or you're a missionary, and you have a support church somewhere else, you can still become a member of UPC. It's called associate membership. What it means is that you're still accountable to the elders of UPC, but you maintain your home membership in that home church, which is in many cases very desirable and very much what you want to do. So consider associate membership as a way of still enjoying the benefits of membership, while at the same time not severing your tie back at your home church. Let me add one and final reason. Why is it important to be a member of a church? In the fifth and last place, it's important because it allows you to enter into the story of God's redemptive love in a way that you would not otherwise. Say that again. Church membership is important because it allows you to enter into the story of God's redemptive love in a way that you would not otherwise. If you read through the Bible for any time at all, you'll notice a word, covenant. Covenant. It's in the Bible about 300 times. It's first used of God's covenant with Noah, way back in Genesis chapter 6. God made a covenant with Noah. And then as you move through the Bible, you see lots of other covenants that God makes with human beings. He made covenants with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with Moses, with David. It's reiterated by the Old Testament prophets. And ultimately, the new covenant was inaugurated by Jesus Christ. Do you remember at the Last Supper, he lifted the cup and said, "This cup is the new," what? "Covenant in my blood, which has been poured out for many for the remission of sins." Well, every time you see covenant, it's not always clear. But what's really going on in covenant is that somebody is committing himself or herself to another person at great personal cost to himself or herself. In fact, that's a good definition of covenant. Covenant is a commitment to another person at personal cost to yourself. On the cross, we see this in action, don't we? On the cross, God cut a covenant with you through the death of his son, the Lord Jesus. Fully knowing that we would fail God, fully knowing how sinful we are, Jesus Christ nevertheless allowed himself to be murdered, pinned, nailed on a cross, to become sin for us, to bear in his own body on the tree of Calvary the wrath of God. Why was he doing that? In order to create a commitment between you and God the Father that is inviolable. In effect, Jesus was saying, if God breaks the commitment that he's making to you through me, then I'll die all over again. Just kill me. See, his death was symbolic of the inviolable nature of the covenant love of God. This plan, this marvelous plan of redemption that is unfolded through the covenants of the Bible. So the story of God's redemptive love is expressed through covenant. And when you covenant with another group of people known as a church, what you're doing is you're entering into that spirit of self-giving love, and you're identifying just a fraction with the covenant love of God by making a covenant with your church family. So, five reasons. I hope you've kept track. But let me just ask in conclusion, is this stuff important? I mean, now that you've heard these five reasons, and by the way, this would have been a much longer sermon because I started out with 9 reasons. And then I cut them back to 6. I thought, these 6, I've got to mention 6. And then at the last minute, I thought, no, there's no way. I've got lots to do in the service. We'll just settle with 5. There are a lot of other reasons I wish I could show you. Read my blog. They'll be there. But now that you've heard them, the question is it important? Considering all the problems that our world faces, considering the economy that we're going through right now, considering racism and drug addiction and crime and the breakdown of sexual morality, the breakdown of the family, is church membership really something that we ought to talk about like this on Sunday morning? Well, Jesus thought so. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus tells Peter, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." He says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," all the problems of the world, "will not overcome," will not be able to overcome and defeat my church. Friends, we've been called by Jesus, right? To go out into the world and make disciples, to teach people to obey everything that Jesus told us to do, to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In other words, you know what Jesus was telling us to do? Go make church members. Go make church members. Those are our marching orders. And you can help change the world if you'll get off the bench and get onto the playing field and join a church. And once you have joined, be an active member of that church, enjoying the benefits of what it is to be a member of a church. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the Church of Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us people to experience life with. That we're not lone rangers. We're not going it alone, Lord. We have a body to belong to. We have people who will speak into our life and encourage us and call us to account if need be. Father, help us, please, we pray, to take advantage of this gift you've given to us. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, for the low view of church membership so many times we have. Forgive us, Father, please, for how we take advantage of one another and take each other for granted and don't treasure what we have. May we, beginning today, recommit ourselves, Lord, to the value of the church, the local church. And we pray for this expression of your church here at UPC and pray that we will grow to be a community of grace, offering to our community words of life and deeds of love that others might know you and grow together and serve others like we're trying to do here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.